All right, I hit record. Can you lean into your mic and give me something, something?
Now I want to play with you, Daddy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. crispy little children dancing out of my microwave. Oh, that is awesome. Welcome. Or something. To Just Be Evil Cousins. The only show that I'm on. I am Jason, Satan's left testicle, Mark. And with me is Joe's, Satan's left testicle, Neil.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're evil. And it's Halloween. And stuff. Little inside thing here. I wrote all that. It sounds shitty because that's acting. This is Just Be Cousins. Oh, let's crank it. Oh, yeah.
You feeling Halloween-y?
Yes, I am. I like that. I haven't heard this song since it came out. Okay, that's true. I listen to it like every year.
That's good.
I was expecting Jacko to come in there, but... Hey, Jacko. Like Jack-o'-lantern. Michael Jackson-o'-lantern. Michael Jackson-o'-lantern.
It's all about our voices. And,
is this a karaoke version?
Yes.
Is that what this is? Oh, awesome, dude. Awesome.
I gotta tell you, I am getting a hardcore echo, though.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, it's not
all I can hear is myself talking to me.
Scary. That might be on your end, child. I don't know what to... say other than
we're good.
Yeah, we'll get through it. Okay, maybe you can fix it. Sorry, I'm Joe and audience. I am really distracted by trying to do too many things at once. We're recording a little bit later tonight, and the truth is I took advantage of that to do nothing. I tried so hard to do so many things. I'm still distracted, but the fact of the matter is the wiggity whack matter is that all I did was make a really shitty image for this show, this episode, in Photoshop. That's all I did. It didn't come out the way I wanted to. I took too long. Things that take that... Sorry, I had it on repeat. That's funny.
Was that a jump scare?
Yeah. That's a jump scare.
Are you home all alone at night?
I am, yeah. Okay. I am.
Good. Well, here we are. Halloween isn't here yet.
No, it's not. But, by the time you listen to this, listener, it might be.
It's not Halloween yet, but by the time you hear this, it'll be Halloweener.
It'll be more Halloween than it was. It'll be Halloweener. I like that. That makes sense. So, let's talk about Halloween. I don't know, Joe. Do you like the holiday? I'm, take it or leave it myself. But what about you? You like Halloween?
I participated for a long period of time throughout my childhood, as many people do, for about 7 years, I think, from age 5 to age 12.
Yeah.
I did the math correctly there. Well, I was a ninja every time. Ninja.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
7 years a ninja.
Yeah. And by about year 5, my dad became an anti-ninja machine.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. It's, for our listener, that's a callback to another show. But it's just that, hey, why don't you throw in a fucking Dracula or a mummy or something, dude? And I'm like, I'm a ninja, Dad. And he's like, eat some more donuts, bitch.
So when I asked you if you like Halloween, you went straight to the whole trick-or-treat aspect of it. What about, the everything else, the haunted houses and decorations and, jack-o'-lanterns and I don't know. Here, let me ask you this question. What's your take on the sexy version outfits for the ladies? Halloween is like you could be a sexy barista or a sexy doctor or a sexy glass of water or a sexy stripper, which I think is completely outlandish. But what is your – as a feminist, Joe, what do you think?
As a feminist, well – As a Taco Bell manager, it makes a lot of sense to me. That is, well, I was talking about in childhood, people, I think kids get really into it. And then through young adulthood, maybe even into their 30s, well, some people just do it forever. But when you're in your 20s, especially if you're a hot chick, it switches from the trick-or-treating thing into the going out and partying thing. And it gives a perfect excuse for a good-looking, trim young woman to just show off. And it doesn't matter what costume you have, you can turn it into a filthy slut.
Yeah.
And so that's what they do, and I appreciate it. But I'm even beyond that, because in my 20s, so, you know, childhood, I'm trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Teenage years, you know, maybe you dress up and go to parties at your friends' houses, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I did. You go to parties, and then that kind of slowly segues into going out on the town as a young adult.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, there's a lot of Halloween involvement, but then like somewhere in my 30s, it starts to creep in like a specter that I don't give a fuck anymore. So, but the sexy thing, that makes sense to me. I mean, if you're a young hot chick and you're like, look, I'm going out and I'm going to be a sexy, I don't know, prosecutor. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. I don't know. I just,
and I always think, and this was on a previous podcast too, I was telling some story where Dracula got his ass kicked. I guess that's apropos to Halloween. But I always think of sexy bumblebees. I, you know why? I must have seen a lot of sexy bumblebees that I thought were really great. Because every time I think of it's the sexy nurse. It's the sexy. See, I can't even think of anything else. I'm going back to bumblebees. And whenever I want to give an example, I'm like, the sexy bumblebees. And, you know, chicks, they want to be hot, and they dress up like a bumblebee. Bumblebees, sexy bumblebees. And I don't know. You're probably better. Give me some more examples. Just rattle off some sexy costumes.
So you want do you want regular examples or stupid examples?
You know, I expect a lot from you, Jason. I'd like for you to start with some of the just cheap, normal ones that you would see, and then transition into something totally bizarre.
Okay, I could do that for you. I think that, you know, sexy cheerleader, that's easy, right? Sexy classic Disney character. You got your Snow White, you got your Cinderella, you got your I don't know, your
Minnie Mouse. That's
sure,
a great one, actually.
Sexy, sexy devil, sexy angel, sexy nun, sexy water, sexy Wonder Woman, sexy superhero. You know what I'm saying? Sexy can of beer. I don't know. Sexy Barbie.
Good.
You know, sexy skeleton, sexy cat, sexy firefighter, firefightress. Firefightertress, sexy crab, sexy bottle of sriracha, sexy ear of corn, sexy hot dog, sexy Mrs. Potato Head, sexy Mr. Peanut. How about sexy Caitlyn Jenner? Sexy Finding Nemo, well, the fish from sexy. Finding Nemo. Sexy Ronald McDonald. What the fuck?
I knew it. I knew that you would just do me right on that one. Look, but you didn't even mention sexy bumblebee. See, my whole list is sexy bumblebee, and like, you really gave, I think every single example that you gave is a real example that has been traipsing down the street from bar to bar. Traipsing.
Okay.
Is that an offensive term?
No, I didn't hear the whole thing. So yeah, no, you're fine.
Sexy Halloween chicks, they traipse. I think. Well,
yeah, okay. I agree with you.
Is there a better descriptor than that?
No. You know, at risk of this becoming another episode where we end up talking about the subliminal truth of our lack of getting laid often enough, let's move on. If you're cool with that. What? No, am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm crying. You see any tears? Well, there's a story, Joe, that you've been alluding to that you said you've always been saying, I'm going to do it on the Halloween episode. Just wait for the Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. We're here. Are you ready to tell that story, or do you want to build up? Do you want to talk about other things first?
Well, my mind has drawn a blank. Can you give me a clue, or have I just been cryptic about it the whole time?
You've been cryptic. Maybe it's you've been wanting to tell about a band called Hell-O-Ween. Is that it?
No, that's I do know that band, and you've brought it up before. And
yeah,
that's an entertaining band. But that wasn't the
story.
That wasn't
it. Okay.
I've got, when it comes to Halloween, I've already told some of my Halloween stories, but
yeah.
There's like haunted house stories, mm-hmm. you know, and I know. You had some of those stories too.
I've got a couple of them. Yeah. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I would love to hear one of your Halloween stories, like the haunted house stories or the haunted trail stories or whatever, the ones that you pay to go into and get molested and scared. Go ahead.
Yeah, I go to them every year. I really enjoy them. Once I used to be just so scared of them, and then I don't know, something clicked. And I'm not saying I'm a badass or anything. I'm just saying that I don't know if you go in sort of expecting what you usually get, I guess you're fine. I guess I am setting myself up for a huge scare. Anyway, point is that one time I went to this haunted house with a friend of mine. We're standing in line forever. We're in a parking lot. One of those haunted houses, like radio stations, you know, set up. So, like, there's huge 18-foot speakers and some jackass on a microphone saying, you know, oh, everybody, get ready for some Guns N' Roses, and then we're going to scare the crap out of you, huh? You know, that kind of shit. So, anyway, we're standing in line forever, and we finally get up to the door, and I should have said this the whole time. The group of kids in front of us, only, you know, 18, 19 years old, they're just talking the things you usually say, like, man, these things ain't scary. Anybody touch me, I'm going to punch him in his face. You know, oh, you remember that one time that dude jumped out at you? You know, like that for an hour, right? Just badasses.
Whoa, I have heard all those things.
Yeah.
I thought that was just kind of an isolated thing where I heard an isolated douchebag say isolated stupid shit, but you're like, apparently it happens all over the country.
I think it's your basic, you know, teenage bravado. So we get up to the door and the guy's like, okay, groups of five or six, and me and my friend, we're only two people, and the people in front of us were four people. And so they go, yeah, y'all can come with us if you want to, you know, look like me and my friend, right? So we go through the door, and I'm not making this up. As soon as we step through and the door behind us shuts, before we're even gone, the guy who was talking the most steps behind me, grabs my jacket in a fistful, ducks his head into the small of my back and says, go, man, go! And he was clutched like that the whole fucking way through. I am not shitting you. The whole way through. Oh, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm lying. Because when the dude with the chainsaw came out, boom, he was gone.
Home
Slice was out of there. Yeah.
See, that was your friend, and apparently that person was really scared. What was your response to the experience?
Well, it's just it was a haunted house. I mean, I guess
you didn't even give any details about the haunted house. I'm really just kind of curious. Does the shit scare you? I mean, are you throwing swings? Are you screaming like a small child? Or are you like hiding in a corner? Do you turn around and try and go back through the crowd? You know,
no.
With tears running down your face. Like, how do you respond to this shit?
No, I'm looking at all this stuff. You know, they're like, here's the haunted dentist room. Wahaha, and he will drill your face. You know, crap like that. And like, oh, this guy was disemboweled and now he's eating his own entrails. You know, that it's just. It's comical. It's goofy. I've never seen anything that was like made me think, is this real? You know, they'd have to go meta on me to scare me. You know, you know that there's that one down in Los Angeles where you have to pay $300. You go through by yourself. It takes like 3 hours and you have to sign like 25 different forms saying you promise that A, you won't die, and B, if you get injured, you won't sue them, and C, they're allowed to touch you and cause light bruising. Like, this is
right,
a thing. Right. I'm thinking I might want to go do that one. Not because I'm a badass and won't be scared, but because it'd be like, thankful. Now
the one that's actually going to do it for you. Like, the one where you go in there and by the end of it, like, they've pulled your fucking toenails out with a pair of pliers and, like, they've somehow really summoned the ghost of your grandmother and she's, you know, floating around your head and you're in tears and they flash terrible memories from your life somehow in front of you and just traumatize you again. while physically abusing you, like yes. actually whipping you, like punching you in the face.
Yeah. I think that would be fun.
That's the type of thing that's going to do it for you.
That would be a lot of fun. Here's one more example of how these haunted houses go. One year, myself and my wife's extended family were in Las Vegas for a birthday, one of our aunt's birthdays, and it happened to be around Halloween. So we went down to Circus Circus. You know, Sal, have you been to Vegas with the Circus Circus? And they got the huge.
Yes, I have stayed at Circus Circus.
Okay, then you already have experienced the horror.
Classy.
Yeah. There's clowns everywhere. So they got that big dome with all the rides and the video games in it. Video games from like 1987. And so for Halloween, what they did was is they.
And a roller coaster.
An actual roller coaster. They filled it full of smoke and divided off sections and had like six or seven haunted houses in there, which is pretty, pretty cool, right? I mean, and they were doing some pretty neat shit. Like, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but they hired people who had lost appendages to walk around scaring people. There's a dude, I'm not making this up, he had no legs, literally no legs. He was crawling around with this like big sheet dragging behind him, grabbing people's ankles, and people were freaking out. And I was like, dude, that is awesome. You are working, you're owning it. That I like that. That was pretty cool. But there was this one haunted, so we went through a bunch of them and they were the same old, same old, but there's this one haunted walk thing where the deal was you're supposed to go through by yourself. You don't go in a group. You go in and there's cameras all over the place with the night vision so your friends can watch you get the shit scared out of you because you're by yourself, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as me and my cousin saw that, we're like, well, we have to do that. So we went over there and there was like hardly any line because people are scared, right? And he went through and I don't know, I was on my phone or something. I didn't really watch the screen. And they said, okay, now it's your turn. So I started walking through, and it was exactly the same as everything else, you know. People every once in a while pop out from behind a painting, you know, and you'd see like this is the place where they murdered the baby and ate its toes, and then it came back to life and ate its toes too. You know, that kind of crap. And then at one point, I'm walking through this room, and this guy's in a sheet kind of walking towards me, and he goes, find the door. I said, okay, I'm gonna find the door. He said, you can't find the door. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I can't find the door. Hey, you must find the door. And I'm like, seriously, dude, I cannot find the door. He's like, it's right fucking there, dude. Do you see the handles glowing? I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. Sorry about that. That was what happened. I mean, I wasn't scared.
You were actually the idiot that couldn't find the door and he had to break character and be like, it's right here, dude.
Yeah.
You really fucking can't find the door because you're a fucking idiot.
See, I wish these things were scary. I have a friend. We're actually going to a haunted house with these friends tomorrow night. And this friend, let's see, I need to create a fake name for her name. Let's call her Carol. I don't know why. So
good job.
We were in a haunted house. This is a few years ago. We're in this haunted house walking through this, and it was really well done the way they did it. We're in this room with a lot of dead bodies hanging from the ceiling. It's very, very dark. And in addition to the dead bodies hanging from the ceiling, you got to elbow your way through. There's people in sheets walking around. So at one point, early in the night, Carol says to my wife, do not let go of my hand, because she's freaking out, right? Well, my wife let go of her hand. So we heard her scream, and my wife goes, Carol, where are you? And this ghost woman goes, yeah, Carol, where are you? And she screamed again, and we finally found her huddled in a corner, crying. She got her money's worth. I got I stubbed my toe on one of the dead bodies. That's what I got, so. Joe, you've got some stories. You must have some haunted house stories. We get to Largo Adam be talking for 10 minutes straight, so please.
I've been to a lot of those haunted trails and haunted houses and haunted hotels and shit like that. And, and the ones that you just talked about sound like pretty effective. And I like the fact that you made the dude kind of break the fourth wall. I think that's really funny. But I went to this one in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And it was you know, just lauded as like the scariest fucking one ever made. But this was, we're probably talking like 15, well, no, probably like 20 years ago or something. But I still hold it as like the best one that I've ever been to. And I had a friend of mine with me, and he's one of those guys. He's like, I've been to a million of these things, and who gives a shit? Like, what are they going to do? Like, how are they going to fuck with my head?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm not like super macho. I was like, I don't know. I like these things. I'm kind of a, you know, you can scare the shit out of me. Like, just jump out from behind a corner. And I'm like, I'll get scared. I'm easy. I'm cheap date. He's like, ah, this is bullshit. and this is great because we walked in and they get everybody kind of herd everybody into this crowd. And there's a guy standing up on this stage, but it's kind of like an island stage in the middle of everyone. And he's like, welcome, everybody, to the greatest horror show of all. And all of a sudden, these two huge fucking spiked pallets come down on either, like swing down on either side of him and squish him. And he didn't even get to finish his spiel. He was trying to tell us how scary the fucking show was. And it came down and, you know, all the it seemed – what I was looking at is these spikes went through this dude's body and his body seemed to be crushed. And the entire crowd was sprayed with not just blood, but like chunks of fucking flesh and shit.
Wow. Okay?
That's the very first part of the show. Yeah. And we're literally covered in blood. I was terrified to the point where there's not even a real reaction. I was just like wide eyed, like,
yeah.
And I looked over to my friend who's like this badass that has no, you know, reaction to anything. And I look at him and he's covered in blood. And it's funny because he looked at me and he was like, he kind of looked at me sideways and he was like, like he was trying to laugh it off and failing. Like clearly he was already fucked up. And so we're put into a group of like five people.
Yeah.
And we're going through this one room was pretty cool because it's all of these designs like stripes and checkers and shit on the wall. Well, the actors were also in stripes and checkers. So like you're thinking that you're looking at walls and all of a sudden somebody that matches the pattern of the wall jumps out and fucking grabs you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And by that time, I look over my friend who's covered in blood, you know, and he's like, huh, that's all right. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. You know, and honestly, he was freaking out more than I was. Again, I was just like a deer in headlights. I was loving it. But he was trying to portray his presentation was an attempt at not being scared. And the fact that he was scared made it really funny because he wasn't pulling it off at all. The whole time we're going through this, there's this chick that's in our group and she's like grabbing us and like super scared, screaming at everything. Oh my God. We walk into this room and everything seems normal except, oh my God, a huge monster worm is coming out of the ceiling and just like biting at nothing. Like a huge one, like a sleeping bag sized fucking worm is coming out on top. Okay. And just grabbing at nothing. And our job is we need to get to the door without this worm eating us. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we all made it. And by that time, the facade of my friend had completely crumbled. He was like, get to the fucking other side. The fucking worm's going to kill us. And I was like, okay, let's go. And the chick that had been with us the whole time was right behind us. Guess what? The fucking worm came down and ate her and pulled her through the ceiling.
I gotta go to this. That sounds so great.
And that was the breaking point for my friend, at which point he said, he looked at me with like wild eyes as if we were in a combat zone. And he was like, stay behind me. We're getting the fuck out of here right now. And he started running and I started running after him because I was like, you know what? One of the guests just got eaten. Like I could no longer like suspend. I had completely suspended my disbelief and felt that I was in pure danger.
Yeah.
So we're running and we're not the only people running. And there wasn't much left of the haunted house at that point because they know that you're going to start running for your life. So eventually we're all running into a field, at which point somebody makes an announcement that we're not going to kill you and it's okay and you can go home now.
Oh, man.
Pretty fucking good. I mean, that's awesome. A pretty good haunted house. The announcer got brutally fucking splattered all over our faces within the first 2 minutes of the show. I mean, that's pretty fucking good. I got to hand it to whoever made that. It's to our listener, if or maybe I can Google it, or maybe Ian can, but like, I wonder if those people still do. Maybe those are the people that finally just ratcheted up a couple of notches and were like, just sign this waiver, and when you come in, we're going to stab you in the fucking gut. For real. And that will scare you. If you think you're a badass, try being stabbed in the gut by a fucking, you know, by a crazy, scary, evil demon clown who actually stabs you while he cackles in your face, and then tell me that you're not scared. Maybe it's the same people.
I want to find out. That's going to be my – you know what? I'm going to wait until my kid is old enough to go to haunted houses, and that is going to be our Halloween tradition. We're going to go around the country finding these places, and we're going to – here. This is – the whole time you're telling this story, Joe, I was trying to live through it. The way I was doing it was not by looking up grody scenes on the internet. What I did was I typed people's reaction to haunted house into Google, and I clicked – images. Now, I don't know if that's something you can do right now, but Joe, you've got to look at these pictures.
I've already done it, and that's real, real comedy.
It is makes me laugh so hard every time. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have the same reaction. I bet you I would, because whatever is freaking these people out is hilarious. They are just cringing. There's like one of this big old beefy dude, and he's hugging this little woman in front of him, like, you know, like, save me. And
hey, well, give our listener, tell them, what do you look up? I mean, I guess you just Google reaction. You just said it, reactions to haunted houses, and you got what you need, right? Yeah,
people's reaction to haunted house is exactly what I did, and it's so awesome. But like I said, we're going to.
Sorry about the chair.
No, it's okay. It's back. It's you're a Foley artist. It's background noise. We're going to a haunted house tomorrow night, and
oh yeah,
me and my wife and those friends I told you about, Carol and her husband, and I'm really looking forward to it. They're cool people anyway, so issue.
I was just
good.
Thinking if you had a haunted house, or if there's Yelp reviews for haunted houses, that'd be funny if one Yelp review was 5 stars. Does Yelp go up to 5 stars?
I don't know.
Anyway, if it was 5 stars, it says Yelp, and then the review just says Yelp.
Yelp. 5 stars.
Okay,
I shat my
I'll
pants.
Be here all night, everybody. Thank you.
No, it's all good. Hey, we are at 27 minutes, so I'm going to say let's do ads now, because there's always 3 minutes of us like, wait, what? Really? I don't know.
Yeah, so, sure. But I do want to tease something, because there's a kind of a good segue. Subway. I'm clearly hungry. kind of a good segue. After we do some ads, there's haunted houses that you pay to go and get your ass scared off.
Yeah.
But there's also horror movies. See, the last horror episode, we talked a lot about horror movies.
Yes.
And I think we need to talk more about that, because there's some movies about paid for haunted houses that are really good. Like,
yes.
Really good. At least one that I can think of. I think there's more than one.
What's the one that you can think of?
Oh, shit, I'm gonna have to Google it. I brought it up, and now I can't even fucking tell you the name. But like, I did watch it in the middle of the night. My wife couldn't handle it and ran to the bedroom, and I kept watching it. I started falling asleep. This is a really bad idea. I started falling asleep, having like corresponding nightmares to the movie, waking up and seeing shit that was even worse than my nightmare.
Yeah,
really
good.
Bad, but maybe I've said too much. Should we figure out what this is?
Was it called The House Is October Built?
That's supposed to be a good one, but I don't think that
wasn't
one's
it. Because okay. I saw that one.
Was that a good one?
Yeah. I mean, tried. It could have been better.
I heard good things about it, and I heard that it was a piece of shit. So I don't know. Horror movies, it's very hard to tell.
Yeah,
because I've had that movie Dead End that we talked about last time that I really really like. It doesn't get very good reviews. It didn't get very good reviews, and I thought it was a fucking really scary movie. So I can't trust. You know, if it's got a half a star, then okay, it's a piece of shit. But you know,
so
did you find it? Did you find the one I was thinking of?
I didn't. I just saw that The House Is that October built has a sequel. The original movie has 5 stars out of 10. The sequel has 4 out of 10. So,
okay, so they're on their way up.
Yeah, but do you remember now what it was? I mean, give me some things. I'll see if I can use my Google food.
Here's the thing. I think we've got a good plan. Like, I think that's a decent build up. Let's do some ads.
Okay.
And I'll try and do a little bit of a search and see if I can find it while we do these ads.
Okay.
But Jason, I will also be listening to how great this content is that we're about to present.
Yeah, you will. So I am going to do an ad now. You're going to do the ad first. I don't remember who's first.
I think you should do the ad first if you don't mind. You know what? And I'm not going to look shit up. I am really looking forward to a Halloween Larco ad. Oh, please.
So yeah, you're going to be disappointed. And I am sorry for that. Yeah, sorry for that.
Well, fuck you, Larco.
Fuck you, Larco. I'll see what I can do. Here, I'll read this. Guys, long. Jesus, these guys. Okay. Here we go.
Enough about your penis. Let's hear the ad.
4:37 on Friday, standing in a 7-Eleven, staring at a package of bologna and your computer keyboard typing up reports all day, tired hands, chuckling at the irony of the fact that legalized assisted suicide is prohibitively expensive, and no, they don't take credit cards. You have exactly 23 minutes before you need to be in the parking lot of an abandoned Denny's to meet your ex-wife and pick up your 2 kids for their court-mandated once-a-month weekend with their dad. And if you're even so much as a minute late, the acid-spewing beast that you knocked up 9 years ago and married 4 months later and divorced 13 ball-busting years after that will tell the judge you're guilty of emotional neglect, and you'll lose your once-a-month chance to keep your son from taking to torturing small animals and your daughter from a career on the pole. Which actually wouldn't be so bad, except that no visitation rights means the child support payments go up. And as much as you'd love to return to your beers and airplane bottles of tequila hobby, there's no way in hell you're going to send even more cash for that beast to skim just so she and punchable Steve can go on another wine weekend in Gentrification Valley. But feeding the little shits is a hassle. What with the stove and the smoke detector and all that crap, the pizza place won't deliver anymore. Not since the incident of the open robe and the chance gust of wind. And the Chinese place went out of business when the animal hospital went up next door. A kind of reverse causality that confuses racists but doesn't keep them from at least trying to make jokes at that bar. The one you go to on weekday afternoons in the alley behind the discount tire shop, you classy motherfucker, you. But wait, what's that you see? A package of hot dogs? Say, hot dogs are just like bologna, but in convenient hot dog shape. And hot dog buns are cheaper than Wonder Bread, and squirting ketchup and mustard out of bottles is easier than scraping the last of the jellied mayonnaise out of the jar with a knife, a dull butter knife, because you know better than to keep anything sharper than a pair of safety scissors in your condo, right, Ace? Temptation's a real ninja, ain't it? Pick 'em up. Pick up them hot dogs. Take a look. Take a good look. Wait a minute. Wait one motherfucking minute. Are these hot dogs, are these wieners hollow? Are these hollow wieners? That's right. Soon to be crowned dad of the year, Larco is going to up your culinary game one wiener at a time. Other companies have tried to give you stuffed wieners before, stuffed with cheese, stuffed with chili. But what if asshole Junior is lactose intolerant? And little Miss frowns at you like her mother is going through another vegan phase. Larco's hollow wieners leave the stuffing choice up to you. Stuff the wieners with sauerkraut or marinara sauce or fuck, I don't know, some fucking Ariana Grande brand mint chocolate chip ice cream if that's what floats your boat. Grab yourself a bag of Cheetos, mash them into dust, and shove those down inside your hollow wiener. It's a fine line between disgusting stain on society and utterly unassailable genius, so go for it. Experiment with your hollow wiener. That's what we're all about here at Larco, the freedom to choose. Buy the wieners and that 6 of Tecate, jump into your 94 Kia Spectra, and zip on over to the Denny's. Get there, what is this, 2 minutes early? Time enough to reset your watch, and when the minivan pulls in, hold your wrist up in the air and point at it. The look on the Demogorgon's face will be all the reward you need. Because with Larco's hollow wieners in the bag, you can easily get away with that kind of shit. It's called self-confidence. You should give it a try now and again. Have a happy Halloweener with Larco's Hollow Wieners. Fill your wiener with whatever you want. Larco's Hollow Wieners.
Yes. Thank you, Larco, and thank you, Jason.
I think that was the longest one they've ever sent me. These guys just need to – somebody's projecting. You're
saying it's the longest Halloweener?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Look. God damn, I couldn't have asked for anything anything more, except for maybe something in my wiener, my hollow wiener.
Yeah.
They could be squirted out if someone tries to put it in their mouth. Moving forward.
You're a fun guy. You know that? I just want to tell you that. You are a fun guy. Yeah,
fun.
Moving
if
forward.
If I could just put a Y, another N and a Y on that, then I'd be what I want to be.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. Okay, are we ready for yours now?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Here's the intro.
Let's have that intro and see if I can explain myself.
Okay. Apparently the intros don't work anymore. What the hell?
Here, do me a favor, Jason. Try and fail to give me the intro one time.
Oh, that almost worked. Yeah, it's on repeat, so you get to hear it until I get it right.
No. One more time.
Kind of like that.
You know what? I told you to try and fail, and then it was happening, and I almost said, I told you to fail, man, but then you failed twice. So, you know, I get what I ask for podcast.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, this, there's a few reasons why we're going to hear this ad. One, it's an ad for a horror movie, so okay. I felt like it would be good for this episode.
Yeah.
Two, I was too lazy to come up with a new ad. Three, I wouldn't have had time to come up with a new ad anyway. And four, I actually think that this ad is the greatest accomplishment of my life on planet Earth.
All right, here we go.
So go ahead. Just hit it. Snowman.
Wait, snowman?
Yeah.
I thought we did snowman last week.
Yeah, if you pay attention, I'm talking about laziness, the best thing that I've ever done. I want the same goddamn thing again, please.
Oh, you do?
I do, yeah.
Okay, I apologize because I am not ready for that. So keep talking it up. How great is it?
Well, look, I was really looking forward to this movie called Snowman. I look forward to
that,
these horror movies.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hype about it, so much hype. And then last week, I ended up presenting an ad about this horror movie, and I should have waited until this week anyway. The fact is, let me rattle off the reasons again. One, I'm lazy. Two, it's Halloween, and it's a fucking horror movie. Three, I wouldn't have had time to do it anyway. And four, it's the greatest accomplishment of my life.
Okay, here we go.
In the cold of winter, a cold case is about to be reopened. A dead body is found under strange circumstances, and a serial killer is on the loose. An elite crime unit is called in, and only one man can piece together the clues and rein in pure evil. Detective Harry Hole. That's right. Harry Hole. The lead character in this film is called Harry Hole. This time, Harry Hole is facing a true demon, and at the same time, struggling with demons of his own. Will Harry Hole win a race against time? Can Harry Hole crack the case before all hell breaks loose? Did the writers write down the name Harry Hole and think it was a good idea? There's only one answer, and that's Harry Hole. Universal Pictures presents The Snowman, the story of Harry Hole. Directed by Harry Hole, written by Harry Hole, starring Harry Hole. You might remember Harry Hole from Harry Hole, Harry Hole's Revenge, and Harry Hole 6. This time, it's Harry Hole. in theaters this Friday.
Oh, that's just too good. It's just too good.
I thought maybe it would be worth a repeat. It really should have been for this week anyway.
Why not? Absolutely. I think that we kind of have hit some – we've always been tending towards Halloween. I mean, not I, but Larko sent me the Scare B&B ad, which should have been for Halloween. And, you know, Harry Hole last week should have been this week. So, I mean, we should just change this from Just Be Cousins to the Just Be Cousins. We often talk about music and or Halloween show, which right. is a long name, but, you know.
Well, and that's going to be kind of part of my argument to stop the show in a little bit.
A little bit, not right now?
Well, I don't know. Where are we at?
That's a good question. Let me check the old where we at-o meter. And the where we at-o meter says we're at minute
you mean,
40.
You mean a ticking clock? Is that the where we at-o meter?
Well, that's another name for it, yeah. Now look at the audio files we're making, and it's sitting at – oh, I just realized – now that I'm done with the Larko ad, I can drink heavily and not worry about mumbling as much. We're at minute 41.
41? Okay.
Corona Extra with tequila poured into it. There's got to be a name for this. I invented this. What can we call it? When you take a cheap Mexican beer and you pour tequila into it, like a shot of tequila. Is there a name for that?
Come on. Come up with a horror name for it.
Oh, that's right. We should come up with a horror name. We're going to call it mm-hmm. – we're going to call it – yeah, Jason Sweat. I don't know. That's not very good. I'll think of something.
And we call it the Jason Voorhees. All right, that was terrible.
We're going to call it the Jason Voorhees. And we're going to call it Spiked Punch. No. That's just dumb. I don't know.
Man,
I'm on this one.
We are so fucking
– we're so bad.
Kicking ass right now. Here, give me another really terrible one.
Okay. Here we go. All right. We're going to call it the Elixir of Dying almost. Not – no.
I want to drink your cocktail.
We're going to call – I know. I got it. Here we go. The Inebrinator. No.
That's actually this really good.
You like Inebrinator?
It's not themed. It's not horror themed in any way. It's just a good name for what you're drinking. The Inebrinator.
Inebrinator.
I was stroking out there for a little bit. Yeah. The Inebrinator.
Oh, man. I didn't invent this. I did a Google search, and apparently there's an article from 2009 that says loaded Coronas make a great time savers drink. And I'm drinking a Corona. It's a Corona Extra, and I'm drinking it in a can because I'm a hipster motherfucker.
Wait, is that a hipster thing? That seems – is that like a retro hipster, like ironic? Well, I guess that's what hipsterism is all about, right?
More or less, yeah.
It's like, well, no, if I were drinking a Corona out of a bottle, that would be like normal and acceptable. I'm going to drink it out of a can, which is less classy, which makes me more classy because my classiness is of irony.
Yeah, I – made the I made the joke because I was trying to, like, you know how it is, like someone says I think you're gay, and you're like, don't want them to think you are gay, but you don't want them to think that you're hiding being gay by saying no, I'm not. So you say something very gay to show that, well, if he was gay, he would hide it, but since he said, why, just because I suck cocks, I'm gay, and it, you know, it's, oh, he's not gay because he can joke about it. It's the same with, like, I'm a hipster, right? If someone says to me, you're a hipster, I go, you're damn right, I drink Corona out of a can. That's my way of saying, no, I'm not, but maybe that means I am.
That's like an unending feedback loop paradox of hipsterism, and you know what I mean? Like, how much if you're just so ironic in a loop that you can't even get to what the fuck you're trying to express. Maybe that's the ultimate hipsterism.
Yeah, it's sort of like the irony of Parkinson's. No, that's like trying to say it's ironic and people get Parkinson's. It's like Parkinson's irony. I know it's Parkin irony. Parkinry. Iron Park. This is my drink's name. Iron Park.
Iron Michael Park. J. Irony.
Michael J. Oh, man, dude. That's awesome.
Sorry.
Speaking of, I know we don't have a lot of time, and I want to get to arguments for cancellation, but I did have a question for you. In the theme of fall, and I haven't turned the guitar music back on because I'm rather enjoying the crickets in the background more so, just so people know I'm aware. No, I like it.
fucking – I just want to just make a quick comment. I can't believe it, and maybe this is kind of horror related. I have completely closed up my garage – sorry, my studio. And and before that helped. Like when the cricket makes an appearance, I can go and like close everything up, close the windows, close all the doors, and the cricket is not there. The cricket tonight is unbelievably present. Again, I feel like he's on my shoulder or like he's in my butt. That's very Stephen King type of thing. Like there's a cricket in my butt, and it won't. It just keeps chirping, chirping, chirping. There's nothing I can do. I've probed my ass and tried to get everything out. It's still in there. See, that's why I'm not a good horror author and Stephen King is. But this cricket is in the garage, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he's on the roof and he's like the size of a dog. I'm not sure.
I like it. I like it in the background, and that's why I haven't turned
it. You've always liked the cricket.
I have. I've always liked
it. It throws me off, but at least you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Well, so in that vein, which actually isn't true at all, but I want to ask you your opinion about pumpkin spice latte. And here's what I'm thinking, right? I was thinking this while I was driving back from the DMV today. I was thinking first somebody like at Starbucks said, let's make a pumpkin spice latte and it will be the fall thing, right? And so they did. And then a bunch of people started drinking it and they liked it. And then the thing became talking about how much you liked it, right? So that was phase two. Phase two was talking about how much you liked pumpkin spice latte. And then phase three was talking about how much you hate the people who like pumpkin spice latte, right? That's phase three. It's like, I hate them white women who be loving that pumpkin spice latte. It's like, Joan, you're white too. Yeah, but not when I hate people who like pumpkin spice latte. I'm more of a, what do you call it? White person with it. Anyway, that's racist. Never mind. Listen, I think we're in phase four now where like people are re-embracing it. Like it's okay to like pumpkin spice latte. It's okay to recognize that the only people who don't like it are the ones who they don't like themselves, really. Anybody who says, I hate pumpkin spice latte hates themselves. And I think people are re-embracing it. So I just want to know, Joe, where on that spectrum are you? Did you invent it? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Or did you re-like it?
I didn't invent it. I do enjoy it. And I have a hard time with that whole thing where it's like, oh, is this something that I should or should not like? I've never really struggled with that. And so, yeah, I've had pumpkin spice lattes and I've enjoyed them and I've never thought twice about it. And then I hear this stuff where like, oh, pumpkin spice latte, you must be a basic bitch. You've heard that term, right?
Absolutely.
Basic
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, last episode, Shags was kind of talking about that, I think, a little bit. It's a pretty ubiquitous term, like if you're basic, right? Like mm-hmm. basic bitch.
Yeah.
The thing is, I just don't fucking care. You know what? A pumpkin spice latte is good. At least I've had good ones. So if I like it, do mm-hmm. I need to decide whether or not to admit it? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
but does that even answer your question? You asked me like five sub questions on that. I'd like to answer it all by saying pumpkin spice latte is good if you like it. If you don't, it's not good. Otherwise, you're fucking wasting your time. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
If anybody else cares if you like a pumpkin spice latte.
I tell you, next
month. Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Please.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hail Satan. Next month is November and I'm going to be writing a novel and I'm going to write a chapter while I'm at Starbucks and I will be drinking a pumpkin spice latte. And Joe, I just want to point out one more thing before we move on. I have discovered that between the both of us, maybe it's genetic because we're related by our grandmother, but not our mother, even though we have, I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway.
Different mothers.
Different mothers, same grandmother.
Fathers that are brothers.
That's right. You and I both have a problem pronouncing pumpkin spice latte when we're drunk. And that's fascinating to me. We both were like, pumpkin spice latte? Pumpkin Spice Latte.
I've got a pretty good buzz, but I'm not drunk yet. Okay, there are buzz. Some words that if I were sober, I'd have a harder time, and that's one of them.
Pumpkin Spice Latte?
I need my inhibitions to be decreased a little bit, lowered a little bit, in order for me to pronounce certain things correctly.
Like because then spice latte.
There's less anxiety and there's less pressure behind my speech.
Like what?
That's one of those. Like at the beginning of the show, if you would have said, "Hey Joe, say pumpkin spice latte 5 times in a row as fast as you can," I would have fucked up really bad, mm-hmm. actually. And oh my god, you're going to ask me to do it, so I'm going to do it anyway. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Do it. Go for it.
Pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte, bitch.
I wish I had like an applause sound bite queued up for you. How about this?
One day we'll have the equipment for you to be on that shit.
One day. I want to tell you something, Joe. I feel like this show didn't start until about minute 45. So I think
that's not fair.
No, we're rolling here. We're 10 minutes to go. We still haven't done arguments for cancellation. I say, you know, fuck it. Let's go long and see what happens.
Oh, there's unfinished business right
there
away.
There is some unfinished business.
Let me tell you, you've stroked out twice. I did you the favor of not. Normally I call you out right away. Or if Ian's on, he'll call you out. He'll be like, "Nah, you're having a fucking stroke, right?"
Yeah.
So, and that's always funny. But I didn't want to – you were really in the flow. Both times you had strokes this time, you were in the flow of, right. of a story. And I didn't interrupt you. But you had two already. Say pumpkin spice latte 4 times in a row.
Just four? Pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte, pumpkin spice latte. Come on, man.
That's pretty good. Now do it to now do it to this beat.
Pumpkin spice latte, 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 pumpkin slice.
You're a true fucking professional, man. That
aren't I? I'm like Eminem if Eminem wasn't good at what he does.
You're Eminem if all of the M&Ms were black and orange, because it's Halloween, Jason.
Woohoo! I need to really get some sound bites for this fucking episode. I'm so sorry.
That was great that you just did it yourself.
I am.
Hey, I don't have sound effect buttons, so I'm just gonna be like, woo! Yeah, that was good, right?
Exactly like that, dude. When you do your next montage, you need to clip out yourself saying that. If you need help, just remember it's at minute 52 or so, 52 and a half, 52 and 20, whatever. Mark it.
Every once in a while, as I'm saying something, I know it's going to go into a montage. About 3 or 4 times, I know I'm going to say something in order to put it into a montage.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
No, we need more of this meta stuff.
It works. I need content.
We've lost sight of our meta discourse on the show. We've lost it. We need to bring it back. So please keep talking about how you do what you do, how you do your thing, how you do that thing.
I consider myself like an undead, bleeding from the eyeballs jazz musician or improv comedian, where during our banter, where we're trying to respond to one another in a humorous manner, if you try too hard, it doesn't work, which is why most of our episodes are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
If you're really relaxed and that starts working out, there's another layer of that for me, because what I'm trying to do is also think about, as we're bantering and as these improvisational kind of comedy punchlines are flying out, I'm also thinking like, hey, which one of these things can I put into a montage? And sometimes when you're saying something, I know that I'm about to say something after you that will be put into a montage. Like it clicks in my brain. I'm like, oh shit, that this what I'm about to say will go into a montage. So make it good, Joe.
So
see, and that's me talking to myself or talking to the demon in my head that would make me possessed. And we're back to Halloween.
Perfect. I think that means essentially what you're saying, Joe, is your audience is the montage. You're playing to your montage. Your montage is who your favorite listener is.
How much more fucking meta do you want?
That is in fucking incredible. I'm proud of you, dude. That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay. If I had to choose between, I'm going old school on this one. If I had to choose between your revealing that and me getting motorboated by Katy Perry, now I would choose Katy Perry, duh, but I'd have to think about it. And I think that's important. I'd have to think about it. And not a lot of things would make me think twice before I allowed Katy Perry to motorboat me. And if anybody, by the way, footnote, if anybody thinks that what I said is sexist, one, I said she motorboats me, not I motorboat, not I get a motorboat from her. She's the active agent in this. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to. We're in public. We're in a Starbucks. We're both getting coffees. It's totally legit. There's other people around. I am not harassing her. And
well, and you've said several times, one time on the original podcast and two times in montages because I thought it was fucking hilarious. But you said it a couple times where, you know, Katy Perry, you would not physically accost or molest or sexually pleasure Katy Perry without her written consent and the written consent of your wife, which I think makes you a gentleman.
Well, I'm here to tell our listener that when it comes to your comedy, Joe, it is in the same room as being motorboated by Katy Perry. And that goes – and along with that, both motorboating and your comedy make me think, is this feministly appropriate? Am I being a feminist here? And the answer is yes for both. I am.
Sure.
It takes a little bit of work. But it's true. Your Joe, your humor is provocative and makes me think, and it makes me want to be a woman.
That's profound.
And one beer and one shot of tequila.
Well, look, I'm going to bring this back to what is scary, because that's the theme of this, really. What's okay. scary is
me as a woman. What, that's fucking terrifying. But go ahead.
No, you said Katy Perry motorboating you.
Yeah.
That begs a frightening question, my friend.
Yeah.
Frightening. What is she motorboating? Your butt cheeks, your man tits, or your testicles?
What? My face. Why would she be motorboating any of those other things?
What do you mean your face? You don't motorboat. You have to have two things to put your face between in order to motorboat. Don't you understand what motorboating is?
I don't know which is the subject and which is the object of the sentence. I thought when somebody – I thought it was implied that it's her breast, my face. Is that not the case here?
Oh, you mean if she – oh, my God.
Motorboated me.
Listen, let's break this down just for a moment. I want to get to the bottom of this. If she's motorboating you, you're saying that she's putting her tits in your face?
Yeah. Am I getting it backwards?
Forcing you to go
– Oh, is the person who goes – the motorboater? The active agent?
Sir.
Oh, so I'm motorboating her? See, here's why I don't like that, Joe, because that makes me the active agent. I want her to be the active agent. I want Katy Perry
to be in charge. Come on, man. Track this. That's the thing. When you said Katy Perry's motorboating me, I didn't picture – well, look, I often picture her breasts, and that's fine. But I pictured her motorboating you. She's the active agent, which means she needs to go between two fluffy objects.
No.
Fluffy. She needs to go between two fleshy objects and go –
no.
Right? And by the way, that was an example of something that I knew was going into a montage, and I did it as good as I could.
Good job.
So the montage would be done well. Anyway, answer the fucking question. She's the active agent. So is she motorboating your hairy man tits, your hairy man balls, or your hairy man butt cheeks?
Okay. Straight up, serious as a pulmonary cardio arrest event. I would not even let her do any of those things. If she came up to me and she said, look, I want to put my face in one of three areas, and she said those three areas, I'd be like, not going to happen. And one, I like you a lot. I like you a lot. And two, if there's even the remotest, smallest, tiniest chance that you and my wife sign that waiver and we can, you know, have it away, And I was willing to do it because that's part of it, Joe. I'm not just some slut who will sleep with any super duper hot pop star who gets my wife to sign a piece of paper. I'm not like that. But here's the thing. If I did, and I remembered.
You have your price.
I do. And I remembered. Wait a minute. This incredibly, let me just say this. This incredibly talented, intelligent, compassionate, emotionally well structured, and beautiful woman wants to have sex with me, but I've tainted her when she put her face between my man tits, and therefore I can't think of anything else. So no, I wouldn't let her do any of those things. I mean, nope. Sorry.
Again,
Joe's
you're
comedy
a gentleman.
Wins. I'm not a gentleman. It's selfish. It's selfish, Joe, because clearly she wants to. Look, if Katy Perry was so desperate to stick her face between my man tits that she was willing to get on an airplane, fly to Seattle, Texas, find my house, come in my door, make sure my kid was asleep, make me a sandwich, make herself a sandwich because she's a feminist and she's going to do whatever she does for me for herself as well. We have the sandwich, and then she says, by the way, want to stick my face in your chest. If she was willing to go through all that, clearly she wants it. Or somebody has somebody she likes held hostage. One of the two. So it's not like I'm just going to be like, yeah, whatever. It's a serious thing. But no. Not going
to
do
Look, it. Let me put an end to this conversation.
Please do.
I don't care. Waivers or not. And I'm sorry. Sorry, Allison, Jason's wife. If Katy Perry wanted to motorboat Jason's hairy man tits, Jason would push his hairy man tits aggressively against the sides of her head and go, ooh, no. Ooh, yeah, yeah. And that's just all there is to it.
No,
now, maybe the waivers would be signed. And everything would be okay. But just know that that's what you would do, man.
I would not do that.
I know you well enough now. That is a fucking fact.
No, I wouldn't. I would not. And the whole point of this, Joe.
Go ahead.
The whole point of this was to say that if I had to choose between that and your provocative comedy, I would choose that. But no, if that's what motorboating is, then no, I don't choose that. I choose your comedy. Every time, dude. Every time.
Now, here's a meta thing. That is my comedy. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night.
All right. And
if I was faster on the ball, I would have played the Royksopp outro, but I'm not. Hey, shits.
Oh, no, no. That was a perfect segue. My comedy is one of the reasons why we need to fucking stop recording my comedy.
Yeah.
And yours, too. Because all we're trying to do is comedy all the time. It's not fucking panning out. And this needs to fucking stop. Please, for the Halloween episode, give me the intro and I will try to explain myself.
Welcome to the Halloween episode of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation.
Why does that dude sound like that? What happened in his life that that's how he sounds and why we think it's scary? I mean, if you're at the grocery store and it's like, do you have a coupon for these Fritos? You're like, what the fuck, dude? I'm channeling an old person. I don't know. Why is it scary?
It isn't scary.
Yeah. I'm distracted
and,
from the point.
This is the thing. It isn't scary. I just did it. And it's not scary. That's the theme of our fucking episode.
Yeah.
And it's not funny, which is apparently
it's
the theme of our entire endeavor as podcasters.
It's the theme of our life.
All a fucking tragic failure. Just, oh my God, just head first into a fucking volcano. Just failure. Okay. So. This is what I want to present to you this time. And we've done it before. We try to have themes. We try to do this and that. We try to stick with ideas and track ideas, but we can't. We go back to fucking music every time. We go back to, oh, we're meta again. Really? Oh, that's great. We're fucking just over and over again. We have these things that we can't get away from. We're limited. We're not one trick ponies. We're five trick ponies. And every trick is fucking tired. It's tired. And the most tired thing that we lean on all day long is the horror thing. Like we're constantly bringing up like violence and, you know, what we think is kind of creepy shit, horrible, disturbing shit. Again, it might have been effective if we used it effectively and just from time to time, but we beat it to death all the time. We beat it like a dead horse. And I want to give you like maybe I think the most compelling collection of evidence, and it's this. I call it You Filthy Horror.
This evil witch, she collects pretty girls' heads.
Right before you rip the jugular from their necks.
Emotional disturbance and suicide and murder and mental illness and...
You are a blood-sucking fiend.
And the dynamite blew his fucking head off.
Gurgling in your evil embrace.
Evil bitch, lop off all five heads one by one, incorporating each severed head into the juggling pattern.
The carnage was knee deep. Blood dripped from the walls.
Are you a prolific child murderer? The tines of this fork will easily slide through the gaping, gruesome faces of several baby heads at a time.
Oh, Jesus.
Of course, white people were everywhere.
Exactly. Look at this motherfucker right here. Look at me cut through this aluminum can right here. All right.
Son of a bitch! Cut my fingers off! Fucking get two knives!
You're going to die. You're all going to die.
See what I mean? Jason,
I think you fucking convinced me.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Sometimes dead is better.
It is. Sometimes dead is better. Oh, man. You know what I really like? You know what I really like about these montages, Joe? I mean, besides the fact that you're a goddamn genius and I'm willfully not imagining how somebody's going to snatch you up and hire you away from JPC. One of the things I like about your montages is how I can hear you or I laughing at the other person in some of the clips. It just cracks me up.
Honestly, that's... Come on. Well, there's no way around it. What I'm trying to do is bring together evidence as to how shitty our podcast is. And yet, when I'm trying to put together clips, we're always laughing at each other. And that's not to say that our podcast is good. That just means that we're sitting around amusing each other with shit that is worthless as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Even though
at the time, you know, it's look, small children amuse each other with really stupid shit all the time, and I feel the same way about us. you know what's really scary? Lung cancer. Let me light a cigarette.
Go for it. You light that cigarette. So we are way over time here, but I don't care because, like I said, I feel like we didn't really hit our stride until we were well past the halfway mark.
Talk about meta. You're like, Hey, I want to say on the podcast that the podcast sucked until now. Now I feel good about it.
Yeah,
what was that, like minute 45 when you were like, okay, hey, Joe, I wanted to alert you to the fact that we're doing well now. And I was like, well, what the fuck?
That's true.
What were we doing before?
Yeah.
But isn't that always what the podcast has been about?
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Seriously, yeah. I should put in every show note, skip to minute 45. You'll waste less
That's
time.
That's not true. And here's some more meta shit. I know It's the Halloween episode, but again, you don't listen to the episodes, so you don't understand the real patterns, the real concerns. That's why I argue for the cancellation. You think everything's great because all you do is you're a part of it as it happens. And To you, you've got this skewed vision of quality. And it's not true. Listen back to it. Most of the time, Jason, most of the time, we're doing well at first. Well, I shouldn't say most of the time. Let me explain this to you.
Yeah.
And this is scary. It is scary for me because this is on the internet. Anybody can listen to it at any time.
Yeah.
Just because it's .net. Anyway, so most of the time.
Dude, wait a minute. Sorry.
Well,
did you just plug our website, which is the only place anybody can get this fucking podcast, which is. They're already there. Just. That was awesome, dude, what did.
That's not true. God damn it. See, you have – all right. I'm not going to go into this now, but the fact is you – and thank you, Jason. You've put our shit on iTunes. It's on all sorts of different podcast apps. See, the cricket is bored and he's left. No, but I'm serious. Most of the people that I've talked to and that have been in contact with me otherwise, they don't listen because they go to the website itself. They find it. All they have to do is search on their little podcast app.
Oh, okay.
And that's most of our listeners. See,
which is so
you don't even know how this fucking works.
I don't.
I'm plugging our website because I want them to go on and look at your. This is for you, Jason.
It's for me.
Yes, because you make to our listener, which is not Ian this evening. Ian has chosen not to listen.
Don't doubt
to our listener this evening. If you go to justbecauseit's.net, you get all of the, you know, it's almost like the difference between if you download an album on iTunes or if you buy an album at a record store. Those don't exist anymore, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you go to justbecauseit's.net, we have a different album cover for every episode made by Jason. Thank you, Jason. And they're brilliant every time. They're funny as shit as far as I'm concerned. And there's a blurb. It explains the episode, and that is a piece of comedy artwork as far as I'm concerned. Not artwork. It's just a comedy piece every time, a written comedy piece. Now, a lot of the person that listens to our podcast, all they do is hear the podcast. I am plugging our fucking website because that is where you get the full experience. Do you understand?
Okay. I do. And I appreciate it. I apologize for calling you out like that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? And you forgive me? And I apologize.
Now, where was I when I was plugging the – what did I say when I was plugging the –
Dude, sorry to interrupt one more time just so you'll further forget, but I just saw on iTunes we have a 5-star review. What the fuck?
No fucking way.
Yeah, only one.
That is terrifying.
Only one.
What is the world coming to when JBC has a 5-star fucking rating on iTunes?
On iTunes, just the one. Like, seriously, literally only one person has reviewed the iCast, and it's probably like your dad or mine, but still. Sorry. So what were you talking about before?
And nobody took the time to write anything, right? It's just 5 stars, and it's one fucking review, isn't it?
No, it says... Sweet podcast. That's all it says. Sweet podcast. Oh, the title of the review is Yaw Buddy. Yaw Buddy by Papa Wasky. Sweet podcast.
All right. Well, I'm not going to get dragged into this thing that finally happened where our podcast was reviewed. We're going to do that next week.
Okay.
And just a teaser for next week. Next week is our 40th episode. And are, my hope is, because I'm going to turn 40 shortly after the episode, I have invited Ian Sane onto the episode. You have turned 40. I'm about to turn 40. Mm-hmm. Ian has recently turned 40. We're going to talk about 40.
Okay.
Okay. And we're also going to talk about the fact that we were reviewed on a podcast review podcast, okay, which I've been talking about forever. It almost seemed like I was making it up. And maybe next week when I talk about it as if it's real, you'll realize that perhaps I've made it up. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. That is not very Halloween-y, and it is not a Halloweener. So how do we end this off? Like, how the fuck do I transition to the end of the show?
You were talking about something poignant. I interrupted. And then when you were trying to find your way back, I interrupted again. And then you interrupted yourself. So if you can't remember it, I guess we just have to hit the outro and Bob.
Interrupt Michael. This, motherfucker!
Pumpkin spice latte!
Yeah, well, I don't know if you...
I stole that from the...
I was grabbing my dick when I said that.
Well, way to go on this podcast, yeah. I'm motorboating myself. boom.
See, that's scary. We're back to scary.
Now it doesn't matter who the active agent is. I'm doing it to myself.
Right.
Okay, so here's why I thought, and then we'll be done, unless you want to say something. I thought the woman was the one who did it because I went to a bachelor party in New Orleans, and the other guys decided that I was going to rat on them unless I got in trouble first. So they took a picture of me when a waitress came up to me, thrust her breasticles into my faceage, and assaulted me. And the best part of it was, the absolute best part of it was, when I heard one of them say, "Okay, sweetie, that's enough," and she kept on going.
Okay. That, now I understand where you're coming from, but yeah. let's clarify this. That, we need to come up with a different term for that. Like, if a woman, let's say you're at some crazy titty bar, and there's a kind of a novelty act woman that comes up that has like just enormous, I mean, it's not necessarily sexually attractive, it's just huge fucking tits, and they come up to you and they bat your face around with these huge tits, that doesn't mean that they've motorboated you.
Okay.
In fact, in order for a motorboat to transpire, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yes. In order for a motorboat to transpire, you have to actually go.
And
I think that's
sound.
The fourth time I've done this on this podcast. Anyway, yes, a woman can come up and bat your face around with her huge tits, but that doesn't mean that she has motorboated you.
Okay.
The motorboater must go. I'm not even going to do it again. Yeah, I am. Like that. So.
We need
anyway,
a new
I think we got to the bottom of that.
Tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to come up with a name. We're going to let our listeners come up with a name. It's a contest. It's the first GBC contest. Name what it is when a woman assaults a face, could be a woman's face, could be a man's face, with her boobs in a consensual atmosphere. I'm not talking about actual go-to-jail assault. I'm talking about wouldn't this be funny assault, or wouldn't this be funny assault. It's kind of what I mean.
And I think we're going to get a lot of responses. I mean, at least – you know, 1,000 responses.
At least 1,000.
On Facebook. All the people that have listened to this.
Hey, call up Joe Best and tell her she's not fired anymore and that this is
we're
a
not
contest.
Firing Joe Beth?
No, because we need her to put this contest on the Facebook page.
That's right, because neither of us have time to deal with any of that.
No way, so, I'm playing video games. I ain't Facebooking. Should we be done now? Are we? Did I?
I hate to do it because I am having a good time, but maybe we should. Certainly we should stop the show, period, and never do another show. But should we end the show now?
Yeah,
probably. Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna
end the show right now. Oh wait, there's still some time left.
All right. Well, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. And
happy
Merry
Halloween.
New Year. Wait.
Yeah.
Merry Halloween and Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Sam Hain.
Sam Hain.
Sam Hain.
Happy Danzig, motherfuckers.
No, not the fucking band. This Happy Winger.
No, that's never happy. All right. Hope you've enjoyed this. It's Just Be Cousins.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, his trousers dropped right to the floor. With his bottom bare, he ran to the door. I said, Frankenstein, what's gotten into you? He said, my dick is hard and I need to screw. He did the monster fuck.
The monster fuck.
It was a graveyard fuck.
He did the fuck.
That monster sucked and fucked.
He did the fuck.
He did the monster fuck. From my laboratory, I heard quite the racket. Deep in the castle, the vampires jacked it. The zombies all fucked in the graveyard grass. Wolfman wolfed down Frankenstein's ass. They did the monster fuck.
The monster fuck.
It was a graveyard
fuck.
Those monsters sucked and fucked. They did the monster fuck. The beasts all fucked as the orgy spread. Bigfoot gave the headless horseman head. Swamp Thing jacked up in the castle moat. While Dracula gagged from the jizz in his throat.
Jesus.
The fucking was wet. There was spooge like mad. Igor decided to fuck his own dad. The mummy let out a horny moan. When Medusa's bare tits turned his dick to stone.
They did the fuck.
They did the monster fuck.
The monster fuck.
You play this to the end or I'll kill you.
They did the fuck.
Those monsters sucked and fucked.
They did the fuck.
They did the monster fuck.
Whoa.
But Frankenstein's bride was the biggest slut.
Whoa.
Dracula got balls deep in her butt.
Whoa.
She
Jesus.
Got titty fucked by a giant spider.
Whoa.
Jizz made the streaks in her hair much whiter.
Whoa.
She fucked every monster, come one, come all.
Whoa.
Her three holes were filled like a bowling ball.
Whoa.
And while monsters all fucked his undead bride. Frankenstein just jacked off and cried.
Now you should fuck.
Now you can monster fuck.
The monster fuck.
And do the graveyard.
The monster
fuck. Those monsters suck and they fuck.
Now you should fuck.
Now you can monster fuck.
Whoa.
Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Funny or Die Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. JBC.
Sigh.